Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
You'd like to believe in God, but you wonder. You're thinking, Bob, for years now, we've heard your friend Jim Barrier on the show once a month. Question one, why did you put this guy on once a month? Question two, why is it that in the past year, he's been more like twice a month? Good question, my friend. Here's your answer. Beats the heck out of me, but it's always good to have him, Jim, in person, in the studio. Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show.
Thanks, Bob. And actually, the FCC said I can only be on twice a month. They said,
Oh, the FCC has confused you with my theme song,
Theme
Exodus.
Song. Yeah,
or
yeah,
or okay. That must be.
Yeah, and then you have to Exodus back to Texas. Is that how
yeah.
it goes?
All my exits.
Well,
are...
you've got your friend Steve here, and Steve was here about a year ago, I
yeah,
think.
Steve
we had a great time.
So
go
yeah.
ahead and reintroduce Steve to our
this
audience.
This is one of my longtime friends, one of my best friends, Steve Hesselbeck, and he is...
So that's the other one. You always say use friends in the plural, and I'm a friend, so Steve is your other friend. Oh, okay.
But this guy, he's the media guy. He works in this field a lot, and he also keeps his finger on the pulse of America as well as anybody I know. He's always sending me stuff, articles and things, and say hi, Steve.
Hey, Jim, how you doing? Bob, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Steve. And Steve's lovely wife, Monica's here, but since we're on the radio, you can't see her, but she's
No, but
here.
She can give us the cutoff sign if she thinks we're going over the line.
Yeah, okay.
My wife used to do that every Sunday morning when I was preaching. And it's so great to be here in San Diego, and I want to tell all of the listeners here locally, I pray for you having to suffer in this weather. I know. Okay, a few
Jim,
days ago.
We don't suffer weather here. We suffer Sacramento here.
Yes.
We're fine with the weather. This is a little place called Sacramento. That's what we suffer these days.
However, just a few days ago, you called it rain. In the morning, I got up and it was kind of misty, sprinkly.
Yeah, you should have been here last week. It was actual thunder and lightning.
Yeah.
Our
and
dog
it dropped
was
out
totally
of the,
freaked out.
It dropped out of the 70s. And I went to Starbucks, as is my custom, and I get my iced Americano. I drink iced beverages. And people are walking in with parkas and scarves and toboggan hats. And can I have a cup of hot water with a steam topper? And
Starbucks is an interesting place. People like me that go to Starbucks, I just want a cup of coffee, black, nothing in it, to legitimize my presence, get out my laptop and work. Other people come in and I want the grande latte marshmallow asparagus with a prune sauce type coffee. And I'm just not into the Starbucks for that reason.
You know, you'll never make a snowflake.
No.
So here I am. And I'm just going to get a couple of things out of the way and we're going to talk about stuff. Last night, Steve and Monica were with me and some other friends doing an early celebration of my 70th birthday, which happens this month.
Okay, now I should tell you, everybody, we were going to throw a party for Jim at the station, and we were going to get the right amount of candles, but the fire department informed us it would be a hazard, so we couldn't do it. But we want to wish you a happy birthday anyway, Jim.
Thank you so much for that. And now you won't make fun of this one, but...
I'll make fun of anything, but try me.
You've met my wife, Leslie. We just celebrated our 40th wedding
that
anniversary.
I won't make fun. Congratulations. That's
awesome. Incredible, because I can't imagine how she has done that for 40 years. But
Well, I think you're a nice guy, Jim, but then we don't have to live with you the
you
way
don't
Leslie
live with
does,
me, that's
so,
right.
Yeah.
So those are milestones.
I was at the dentist a couple of weeks ago. I tend to have a pretty high tolerance for pain and stuff, and they work on my mouth. My dentist patted me on the shoulder. When he left, he said, "You're really easy to get along with." I said, "Please call my wife and explain that to her, please."
Straighten that matter out.
A couple of shameless plugs. You know, you and I both have podcasts on the CGM Radio Network.
We do.
And I'm doing that, and I left them. I'll have to bring them. I have books for you. I've had two books have been published.
Oh, that's right. You're a published author.
You wrote a book. And the third one will come out soon. I have to go home and do a little bit of finish work on it. But
congratulations.
Thanks.
I'm sure they're great.
I'm a media mogul.
All right.
But
he writes books. He does podcasts. He slices. He dices.
Exactly. But we want to talk tonight about the media. And as we do, I want to set this up. I just read this. CNN announced in a new poll that the majority of Americans have more confidence in the media than ever before. CNN.
Well, I'm sure given the accuracy of CNN polls, we can take that one to the bank.
So we want to hit some of that stuff. It's just crazy stuff that's going on. And actually, I laugh a lot and I make fun of things, but I'm greatly concerned about what's happening in our society. So we wanted to hit some of that.
I always get frustrated when people immediately compare people to the Nazis and Hitler because we think of the latter part of the Holocaust, where Jews were actually marched into concentration camps and exterminated. But people forget that there was an embryonic stage of the Holocaust, like the Nuremberg laws, telling certain people they can't go into restaurants or public parks or concerts. Starting to sound familiar. We are in an early embryonic stage. And I'm not saying that the people coming out with all these mandates would do what Hitler did later, but we should at least be concerned that we're parroting the embryonic version of the Nazis, because we absolutely are.
Sure feels like it. And I remember thinking, how could people let this happen? I know there were good people in Germany. There were Christians in Germany.
Well, now you know.
How did they just...
Now you know how. They scared the population to death, and then you can get them to do anything you want.
I never thought it would happen in our country, but here we are.
And for a disease with a 99% recovery rate, we've laid down our whole republic.
Yeah, I'm usually not at a loss for words, but I'm just kind of stunned by some of the stuff going on, and that so many people just swallow it hook, line, and sinker. And they see something either... I don't even think television is as much of an evil as what's going on online. People, they believe what they see in social media. And
or they might believe what they see in social media, but the moguls of social media take it down and shadow ban it.
Yeah.
So they don't even see both sides on social... You know, a number of years ago, Hugh Hewitt was calling social media, Fox News, talk radio, the new media. But that media has pretty much become infested by the old media.
Yeah, I'm not even, I don't want to offend anybody, but yes, I do. I'm not a big fan of Fox so much anymore. I used to
some like, people, I still like Tucker Carlson. I still Greg Gutfeld. But from the top down at Fox, it's not what it used to be. But
they've bought into a lot of that agenda.
Well, they're getting good ratings, and they want to legitimize themselves more. And in the Washington elitist circles, legitimizing yourself means moving more to the left and calling it more to the center.
Well, I'm thankful that you don't do that.
Well, it's like, see, I love it when people say, well, I'm a moderate. I'm right in the center. I'm going, you don't understand how it works. If the conservatives stick with their values and don't move, and the left moves increasingly leftward, the only way to continually be exactly in between the left and the right, where it's staying where it is and the left where it's moving off the cliff, is for the middle to keep moving leftward. So today when someone says they're a moderate, they mean they're pro-choice, they're pro-LGBTQ. Anything that might come up 5 years from now, which you and I can't even imagine with all we've seen, we still can't imagine what they'll come up with 5 years from now. There will be people in this country going along with it in 5 years, and they'll be calling themselves moderates.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all that means is that they're socialists and not yet communists and Marxists. I mean, it's not much of a distinction anymore.
No, it's not.
Well, so, let's let your friend talk.
Yeah, Steve, you shared with me not long ago a couple of stories just from your own life, your own history, experiences that you had. And I thought it might be interesting for people to hear about some of this. So talk away.
Well, thanks, Jim. After graduating from high school, I went to a private Christian school in Florida, and it's where I learned media. The opening orientation day was in a giant auditorium, and when I sat down, I looked around and saw all these television cameras, and I saw a television control room, and it piqued my interest. I've always been kind of an electronics nerd and took a lot of electronics classes. And the second the orientation was over, I ran upstairs, knocked on the door that said, TV control room, and a really great gentleman by the name of Nick Manassas answered it and said, what can I do for you? And I said, do you take volunteers? And that's like music to his ears. So he said, sure. And I started, my career was born that day. I volunteered every day after class or when I had open time. More to the point is I was agnostic towards the media prior to that. I didn't think about it much. I was a young man, had my thoughts on lots of other things. And that auditorium would be rented out to civic organizations, political groups, community organizers of all sorts. And one day, after I had been in school for a number of, I think, 2 or 3 years, I was made aware that a big event was coming, and they asked me to run a camera. And I said, sure. So the event was back then during the Reagan administration. They invited the Secretary of the Interior to speak. His name was James Watt. I had no idea who James Watt was, nor did I care. I just paid attention that the whole back of the auditorium was filled up with media. There were uplink trucks outside. Somehow he was a big deal. Well, I listened to every word that he said because I was running centerline camera, and the producer would backfeed IFB into our ears as cameramen, so I could clearly hear everything he was saying. And the next morning, when it was all over, of course, the next morning I went down to the cafeteria and somebody had left a local newspaper sitting on the table next to me. And so I grabbed it and I'm flipping through it, and it was kind of folded weird. And I got to the front page last, and there was in the local headline this whole article about James Watt speaking at our auditorium the night before. And so I read it. What I heard him say in my own ears and what was printed in the newspaper were like two different worlds. I thought, was this reporter in the same auditorium that I was? They would take things out of context. Right off the bat, it was a very hostile tone to the article, and they just really smeared him. And that was my eye opening experience because I thought it was rather kind of a boring speech, to be honest. I didn't see what was all the controversy was about. It turns out that they wanted to open up some lands to drilling and oil permits, and people were going hysterical even back then. And that became the launch of my realization that what you read in a newspaper isn't always accurate. I never even thought about it till then. All these years later, it is just rampant. You can't trust practically anything that you hear or read anymore.
Yeah, and if I say something to somebody who trusts mainstream media, and if I got it from some of the good sections that still remain at Fox or OAN or something like that, they'll go, oh, well,
yeah,
you can't trust your sources. And yeah. I'm going, has it ever occurred to you that your view of those sources comes from your sources? So let me put the question back at you. Right. How do you know you can trust your sources? And the most they'll ever come up with is, well, that's the majority. And then I say, well, all we have to do is go to history to realize that the majority has been wrong more than it's been right. Yeah. The majority of the world once believed that slavery was okay. So what, we really want to argue for majority opinion or the truth?
Good point.
Yeah, that has been historically. It has been that way scripturally. But it's so easy just to think, well, these people are in journalism and they're there to report the truth. Why would they lie? And, of course, we have the same problem applies, the same principle to professors in universities and many times men and women in the pulpit who are preaching to crowds. And so it's easy for the masses to say, well, this person is important. They have a title or they have, you know, why wouldn't they tell the truth?
And I'll tell you exactly why people are lying these days, because they believe the ends justifies the means.
Right.
Right now, and I've said this before, right now they're claiming that Trump lost the election fair and square, and to suggest that anybody cheated, were traitors to even suggest it. I guarantee you in 5 years, they'll be bragging about the fact that they fixed the election. They'll be wearing it as a badge of honor, because in their minds, well, Trump's Hitler.
We needed to do that.
I would have cheated to get Hitler out of office, but nobody's challenging the premise. Exactly how is Trump Hitler when he's the most pro-Israel president we've ever had, and he's pro-Hitler? But they've sold it to themselves that he's evil. Yeah. So they pat themselves on the back, and they lie like a badge of honor. They're not there to report the truth. They're there to report what will bring about the utopia, which they, in their arrogance, want to shove down our throats because we're too stupid to think for ourselves. They're going to do our thinking for us. That's why they lie.
The ends justify the means.
And, exactly.
And then that goes into a program we could do all of its own about absolute truth and the postmodern era. And you'd strip away the things if they're not helpful to your agenda or your narrative, and you just say, well, we're going to leave that out because it doesn't line up with what we yeah. want to conclude.
And then they say, who are you to claim there's such a thing as truth? There's no such thing as truth. And I say, really? Is that an absolute opinion of yours? Yeah. In your opinion, there's no such thing as truth? Or are you absolutely saying there's no such thing? Absolutely. Okay, well, then yeah. there is such a thing like, as absolute.
Yeah.
It just,
they don't get it.
Vicious yeah. circle. Yeah, yeah. And they don't usually see it.
Yeah. So now you had another thing you were telling us about.
If you haven't ever looked it up or heard of it, I would suggest strongly get on your computer and look up Operation Mockingbird. And you'll be surprised that even back in the 50s, our own government was putting journalists and student organizations on their payroll and sometimes under threat to write articles favorable for what the intelligence community wanted the American public to read.
No.
Is this as far back as the McCarthy era, or is this after McCarthy era?
Before.
This is even before McCarthy era. Oh, yeah, my goodness. Wow.
And that came to light, and there were some congressional hearings in, I believe, the 70s. And it was only in, I think, 2006 or 7, somewhere around there, that those congressional hearing reports were released to the public. A lot of it was redacted, of course.
Of course.
And in it, if you read it, they don't really ever deny that they did that. They don't confirm or deny, but, you know,
right.
we basically have a fourth branch of government. There's supposed to be three branches, executive, legislative, judicial, but we have a fourth branch, and that's the intelligence community. And if our media is under payroll.
Yeah, the media is part of that fourth branch, too.
They're part of that fourth branch.
But as you would put it, in cohorts with the intelligence community.
Right, right.
And that was one of the things. One of the things that Biden is trying to fund, and what was it called?
Build Back Better? Is that
what yeah, Build Back Better. But part of that is supporting media people and helping them financially. How is that not an interference with free journalism and telling the truth? If you're getting paid
by the government,
literally by Joe.
Well, know,
we haven't mentioned
Joe's it not thinking of this himself. Somebody's saying, now you just sit down and shut up and we'll tell you what you're going to do. That's what's going on with Joe.
A couple of weeks ago on the show, you referred to Joe as Nebuchadnezzar.
No, that was King Newsom.
Oh, okay.
King Newsom, also known as Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar, okay.
I cannot claim I coined the Nebuchadnezzar term, but I'm using it because I like it.
Well, I thought about that after you said it, and I got this picture of Nebuchadnezzar, and it was a big statue. And I thought, well, okay, Joe probably could work as a statue for someone. I don't.
Well, it's possible. Joe has gotten around. If only Custer had listened to him, he would have won the war against Sitting Bull. It was Joe that talked our other forefathers into signing the Declaration of Independence. Joe single-handedly helped Neil Armstrong down from the craft to land on the moon. Joe carried him down piggyback. So no wonder the guy's tired. He's done more than Forrest Gump. We thought Forrest Gump was the guy that was a part of all history. It was good old Uncle Joe.
Once you've tangled with Corn Pop, I mean, all bets are off.
Yeah. Oh, we make fun of the guy, but...
Come on, man!
Some of it is laughable. We make a lot of jokes, but the truth is, it scares me. And, I'm one of those people. I'm not of the opinion that Joe is really the one
pulling the strings.
Someone's pulling his strings. That's the way I feel. Years ago, I was doing a Bible study in Ephesians, and I read the line. I think it's Ephesians 2, verse 2, and it refers to Satan as the prince of the power of the air. And my wife, Leslie, who...
Oh, I remember this one, of the airwaves.
It's prince of the power of the airwaves, and it's stuck. And so I always think that, you know. I do think that we wrestle not with flesh and blood and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. And I think an awful lot of this stuff, that behind it, there is spiritual influence. I'm not the little church lady on Saturday Night Live, the Dana Carvey did. Oh, is it Satan? You know, but I think there is
a real Satan, and he is behind some of this stuff, a lot of this stuff.
I think that's part of the problem. So we will present our case, we will argue, we'll debate, but we also need to be careful that we're praying and being spiritually aware of what's going on so we can fight the battle properly. Now, years ago, I think all of you remember Francis Schaeffer.
Yes, brilliant man.
Great man.
Wrote the book, How Shall We Then Live?
And when that book came out, good segue. I went to a seminar. He was in Houston, Texas, and I happened to be there at the time.
Oh, you didn't go to one of his Geneva, Switzerland
retreats? I never
retreats?
went to Labrie,
Switzerland, yes.
But he did a week-long seminar in Houston, and I went to the event, and it was to promote and publish that book and series, How Should We Then Live?
And if only we'd listened to him. He was saying everything right.
Him and Solzhenitsyn and a bunch of those people were really prophetic. But one of the things that really burned into my brain that week, they did a film clip, video, but it was to establish how media can be biased one way or the other. And they filmed a riot scene. Well, it was people protesting, and there were police there, and it was this confrontation. And they filmed it with two different cameras, different angles, and then they had different narration. Same exact events happening, but from a different angle and different narration. One of them was talking about these, you know, riotous rebels who were causing trouble in the streets, and the police were trying to protect the citizens and keep peace, and it painted the officers as the good guys. The other one was completely the other thing. It was police brutality, and the police were abusing their power, and these poor citizens who were just trying to peacefully demonstrate. But it was the exact same actors. It wasn't even reshot a second time. It was the same scene, just with different perspective. And that was an eye-opener, because I'll see things on the news sometimes, and I'll think, you know, I wonder what's going on over there on the other side of that van. You know, I wonder what's behind this scene over here. And we can be so easily manipulated just by a camera angle. And you know, you've done a lot of work with video. That's how we kind of really bonded. He helped me with video things, because I'm kind of a Neanderthal when it comes to technology. And the angles of the camera, then the narration, the voiceover, even music. They did a sequence. It was kind of funny. They showed this creepy, eerie scene like from a horror film with the music, you know, deep organ music and that kind of stuff. And then they showed the exact same clip, but with this like vaudeville music from a silent movie, you know, and you're laughing your head off at that. You know, the first one's scaring you, the second one's making you laugh. Same scene, but it's yeah, manipulation.
The music has a direct tie in with our emotions, and that can be good or bad.
Good or bad, and that's the thing. They're tools, but right now the tools are being misused and abused, and people are being misled and manipulated. I really believe that. I'll ask people questions. Someone very close to me a couple of years ago before this election said, well, everybody knows Trump's a puppet. I said, excuse me? Yeah. If Trump's a puppet, who's controlling him? Because he was a billionaire. You know, the Republicans hate him as much as the Democrats. Whose puppet is he?
Then you know, Biden is Howdy Doody and Lamb Chop and Charlie McCarthy all rolled into one.
And I said, so where do you get that notion? Well, that's what people say.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You hear, everybody says this.
I saw it on all the newspapers. Saw it on Facebook.
Yeah. I heard it on The Daily Show.
And then after the election, a neighbor of mine, you know, I'm still friendly with people, even if they don't agree with me. The same
good
as you.
Good for you, Jim. Yeah. Good show.
And so it was right after the election, and she says, well, I'm just going to get this out of the way. We voted for Biden. And I said, okay, well, in the 47 years of his career, what was it that impressed you so much?
Just say, take two aspirin and call me in the morning.
I'm setting her up. But I said, so tell me, what is it that he's done? What's his record that really impressed you that made you want to vote for him to be the leader of this nation? And she said, well,
he wasn't
he's better than Trump.
Yeah. They,
and I said, okay.
That is exactly how they sold him. At least he's not Trump.
But I took it to the next level. I said, okay, so I get that you don't like Trump because I know he's just, you know, mean. But what is it about the economy and our reputation in the international community and security at the border?
If you're going to bring up all that stuff, but what about the tweets?
Yeah. I said, well, what is it that he's done that makes you hate him so much? Because obviously he's done something that's really violated your sense of freedom as an American. And it was. I can't say the word that she said, but he was anal.
Yeah. There you go. And his tweets have been removed from Twitter. His account's been shut down by Twitter. That's not an assault on freedom of speech in the First Amendment. Trump tweeting in an open free society, that's an assault on our free speech. Him getting shut down, that's not an assault on our free speech. This is Isaiah chapter 5. Woe to those who call evil good, and good evil, light darkness, and darkness light.
That's exactly where we're at right now. The only thing that isn't tolerable is for you to say that something is wrong. Mm-hmm. If you take a stand and say, this is wrong, or if you really want to be a fanatic, you call something sin, And you're a fanatic, you're a racist, you're a xenophobe. And
there's no such thing as wrong unless you're a conservative Republican or an evangelical Christian or a Trump supporter. Then there's or an anti-vaxxer, now's the new one.
Well, and if anything scares the left, it's a conservative black female, of which we know several.
They're not afraid of conservative black females. They'll tell you conservative black females don't exist. She's not really black. She's an Oreo. They just make this stuff as they go. They make it up. We're supposed to roll over and play dead and not say anything. But I was given some news tonight by the three of you. Tell us the news. You may not be going anywhere. I may not be going anywhere. What's going on? What's the good news of the world, Jim?
Well, it started two nights ago. My daughter called, and she grew up here, and a very close friend of hers passed away. And it was someone that she had spent a lot of time with. It wasn't just a casual friend, and she was really shook. And I said, how can I help? She says, I need to go out there. And I said, okay. So I booked her a flight, just a one-way trip, because I didn't know how long she'd be here. I said, come on out here. I'll be here. And she calls me about an hour before she's supposed to go to the airport and says, I just got a text and they canceled my flight. And now this happened to me the last time I was in San Diego. It took me 2 days to get here. And then they said it was a computer glitch.
But that was just a regular, ordinary airport incompetence. This is different.
Happened right after the pipeline glitch that had happened. So I said, well, we'll try to rebook. And we're on the phone for 2 hours and nothing. And come to find out that 1,000 flights or more had been canceled, and then today another 1,000, all with one airline.
And this airline is Southwest.
Southwest is which I always
fly. And it's not going on with other airlines.
No, very little, very few problems in other
airlines.
Once
one shoe drops, they all drop though. No, I'm assuming this will happen on.
Well, here's
airlines.
What happened. A week ago, Southwest passed a policy, and they said you cannot work unless you have the vaccination. And so, flight attendants, pilots, the people that work on the ground, if they didn't show proof of the vaccination, they could not come to work. Guess what?
They decided not to come to work.
They decided not to come to work.
Do you know what the percentage is? How many? I mean, obviously it was enough to stop the flight, but is it 70%, 80%? This could be really good news for our country if this is catching on.
I didn't see percentages, but I thought 1,000 flights a day, 2 days in a row, that's catastrophic. And especially for people of, you know, a number of people, even myself, I'm here in town. I might have to stay and suffer with this weather for another week and eat more Mexican
food. How are they going to fly Joe Biden's succotash to Washington? What, are they going to have to put it on Air Force One?
I don't know. Does he even get a one? Is it kind of like Air Force 0.7? I don't know.
Let's go, Brandon.
The sports fans will get that.
Biden thinks he's riding in the USS Enterprise when he gets aboard Air Force One.
I have to go home. I have a wedding next weekend, so I've got to find a way home. So it's a big problem. And then we started talking, and hospital workers at certain places have not.
Oh, and public schools are going through the roof ready for
walkouts.
Firefighters
in L.A., like 1,000 firefighters got laid off.
The mayor of L.A. doesn't care if things burn down. He's the one that told the police to stand down a year ago during the riots. You think he cares?
The common denominator on all of these industries, and these are essential things. You need firefighters. You need hospital workers. You need teachers. I need airlines.
They are firing nurses left and right who won't get the vaccine. That's how much they care about our safety.
It's all about the vaccine.
Yeah. These were nurses that put their lives at risk for the last year and a half, right on the front line. But maybe they know something about these vaccines that the rest of us don't, and now they get fired over that, that.
I have a lot of conspiracy theory friends, and I've talked to doctors and people in the pharmaceutical industry that are against getting the vaccination. And so the jury's still kind of out because they just keep moving the goalpost. What I have a problem with is being told by the federal government what I must do. And I was saying it months ago, and now people
I've been that way from the beginning. From the beginning, I always took it for granted when the vaccine came out, I would take it. What's bothering me is the way it's become politicized. And if somebody does not want to take it, they should not have to, period. Well, whatever their view is, it's up to them.
Let me say some words that you have heard. My body, my choice.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything unless you want to destroy another little body living inside you.
I'm just saying. And that's really the problem for me is the political agenda and the coercion by the federal government.
Well, the narrative is that, it's a privilege to live in America, and if you want the privileges, you have to get the vaccine. I'm saying, no, if you want the privileges, you have to read this piece of paper called the Constitution. I'm listening to these high-level twits lecture us about what it means to be an American, and they wouldn't understand a constitutional freedom if it bit them in the FCC regulation get around the word.
The Constitution is ancient history, and it's rapidly becoming...
It's a living, breathing document. No, it means whatever we decide we want it to
be. I think it's on the endangered species list.
They would shred it in a moment. It's a living, breathing document. While it's convenient, if they came into power, they'd shred the Constitution along with the Bible faster than you could blink.
You have unions suing the state for some unbelievable amounts of money because of these mandates. They're saying we're not going to play this game.
And I usually have not been much on the side of unions. I thought unions were a great thing when they started, but lately I have not liked the power of unions. But these days, there's a lot of people from different camps that are uniting over this, and maybe our country is waking up and just smelling something.
I think it could be the thing that just finally... The straw that breaks the camel's back. It could be the thing they say, enough is enough. I hope there are enough people that are sensible in this country, and I believe that there are. They just don't get the coverage on the media. They don't get the attention, and they don't live in New York or L.A. But I think people are getting so fed up with this stuff that we could have a revolution of some kind. I don't know what kind. I mean, the Boston Tea Party was over a 3% tax, you know.
Absolutely, and I know that because Joe was there, and he told me about it firsthand.
And he
invented straw, and he bred every camel in our country, so we'll see how he feels about the straw breaking the camel's back.
He knew people with the India Tea Company.
The hairs on his legs are like straw, when the little children...
My gosh.
But I think we're rushing headlong to a breaking point in this country, and here we go again. You know, I've said this for years on your show.
Is this about Animal Farm again?
No, I'm not going to quote Animal Farm.
I cannot remember the last time we had a radio show and Jim didn't talk about the novel Animal Farm.
For me to do that. have said that our hope is in a spiritual renewal, a revival of historic proportion, like there have been in other times. And I would rather that than to see a civil war being fought with blood in the streets. But one of those two things is going to happen.
Hear, hear. You'd rather have the Bible than the novel Animal Farm, which is what you're saying right now.
Yeah, you're going to see more and more free states and slave states. If I could use that analogy.
Except that at the moment, the slave ones are blue and the free ones are red.
I live in the free state of Texas.
Yes, well, rub it in, Jim. We're still here in beautiful, sunny California.
You know.
All right. Listen, Jim, if you do get stuck here, it would be great to have you around another week. Maybe we'll even let you come back on the show. We'll think about it. But
we'll figure it out. I have a wedding Saturday and a rehearsal Thursday, so I'm going to find a way to do that.
All I care about, Jim, is whoever does this wedding, are they going to wear masks for Pete's sakes, as Biden would say, for crying out loud, wear your mask.
Not where I live, no.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, boy.
Boots, maybe. Cowboy boots, but mask, no. Unless you're the Lone Ranger, so.
Jim, Steve, it was a pleasure. Monica, you should come on the show, too. Monica's been throwing out all kinds of words. You just haven't heard them over the air. And they've been good words. The FCC would have allowed them. She will put her on the air next time.
She's terrific.
All right, we'll see you next week, everybody. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.